Sometimes, all you need is a little hope, a little push, and little encouragement to get out there and make a difference. I'm Rashika Jayaprakash, back at it with Little Helpers, Big Inspirations. So are you ready to get inspired today? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Little Helpers, Big Inspirations. I'm your host, Rashika Jayaprakash, and today we are here with Sonia. Hi, Sonia. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay. And can you just tell everyone a little bit about yourself, please?
Of course. So I'm Sonia. I'm a 21-year-old change maker. I'm originally from India. I grew up there. I went to the UK for law school. I just finished a master's, moved to the US. I started an organization to do a lot of awareness work. I've been actively involved in volunteering since I was 10, and I'm so excited to be here.
That's amazing. I really love that. And I know you mentioned you're from India. My parents were from India. I was born in Cincinnati, but so what India are you from?
I'm from Bangalore, so South India. Yeah.
Okay, so actually I speak Telugu and Tamil, so that's also South India.
Wow, I've lived in Hyderabad for a little bit. That's amazing.
Oh, really? That's great. Yeah. I'm so glad we were able to make a connection already.
Wow, such a small world.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit more about your organization?
Yeah, sure. So before I tell you a little bit about Scarlet Iran, just a backstory and how it started. When I went to the UK for my first year there, I joined a volunteering project, which basically raised awareness on female genital cutting, honor-based abuse, gender-based violence. And I had never heard of female genital cutting before that. So it really shocked me, first of all, because I had gone my entire high school, middle school in India, never heard of such a thing. And then through that project, I learned that over 200 million women are affected by female genital cutting in the world. It happens in 92 countries. Every 11 seconds, one girl is being cut. So for those, if people have not heard about female genital cutting, it essentially is the total or partial removal of the female genital organ. And it also leads to a lot of health complications, whether that's physical health, mental health. It really has an intersectional impact on girls, women, and non-binary survivors who undergo the practice. So that really shocked me. And through that year, I would tell my friends and family, I'm at university, I'm doing this project. And they would all say, oh, that's amazing, but I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what FGC is. That was very eye-opening for me. So since then, in 2020, I decided to do something about it. And I started Scarlet Iran, which has now grown into a global youth organization. We have young people in the team. We raise awareness in a lot of different countries. Because especially if we want to end gender-based violence, talking about it and raising awareness about it is equally as important as anything else that we do, in addition to a lot of the other solutions that we work on. But that's just a story on how Scarlet Iran started.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. And I'll be honest, I've never actually heard of FGC until now either. So is there a reason that it happens, or why exactly is that?
Yeah. You've hit the nail on the head. It was the same experience for me. We go through our entire schooling system. Yeah. And in the news, we hear about gender-based violence, but this is something that we've never heard about. I think there are a lot of reasons. Of course, the taboo, the fact that, talking about female genital organs and the fact that it's a form of gender-based violence as well. And it also has been continuing across century behind closed doors. So there's not a lot of awareness about it. And again, it isn't taught in schools, but it happens in 92 countries. So it happens in the US, the UK, a lot of other countries across the globe. And I didn't know the wide scale effect of this, the impact. And I think that was the most shocking aspect.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think, especially considering how much impact that would create mm-hmm. on the world, the fact that it's not really been in the news or been taught to us, I think that's really crazy. I don't know why it's been sheltered behind closed doors. And I really love the fact that you're trying to change that and bring more awareness about it. I think that's so essential. So thank you so much for creating this initiative to do that.
Thank you for having me on and allowing space for us to talk about this. This is so important. And I love what you do.
Of course. Thank you. So how exactly, I know you just told us the backstory, but what exactly does Scarlet Iran do? And actually, if you can tell us the meaning behind the name too, that would be
awesome. Yeah, of course. So Scarlet Iran, essentially, I chose the name because scarlet symbolizes a bright red color, and Iran in Hindi means to fly. And I wanted it to symbolize all things female empowerment, empower young people to take action, and of course, ending gender-based violence also means we need to end violence against women and girls because they're all interconnected. So that's how it started. When I first started out, we were doing a lot of awareness-based work, and you know, we started off with wanting to end female genital cutting and realized it's a form of gender-based violence. But since we've done the work, for example, I did a webinar with a survivor of female genital cutting, and she was telling us how it impacted her education when she was 10 years old, how, like, when she underwent her first period, the complications that arose, impact on her mental health, her inability to have children. And it made me realize it's connected to so many other things. So since then, we've really channeled an intersectional solution approach. So that's how the name has come up. And essentially the work that we do is raising a lot of awareness. So we'll do like webinars in high schools, universities. We've raised awareness to over 150,000 people. We've grown to over 10 plus countries and a lot of volunteers. And then we have a toolkit as well for people to take action. We have a podcast where we speak with like survivors, authors. We just engage in a range of campaigns to essentially like inspire people to use their voice, but then also raise awareness on female genital cutting.
That's really amazing. And I always think like the first step is raising awareness, or in like Little Helper's terms, it would be inspiring. And I think that's like the best part of what you do and what like all these like young change makers do, because we notice that like when there's a problem, we don't need to wait for an adult. We don't need to wait for someone else. We can take action. And that's something that's really special among all of us. And that's Definitely. Amazing. And so does like FGC happen when girls are younger? Is that like, or can it just happen at any age?
So both of what you said are true. It can happen when they're younger. Like it could be as soon as when they're born. It could be when they're between 10 to 18, but it can also happen at any point during their adulthood and later on as well. But like you were saying, it just results in so many other implications. So I've also spoken with survivors who said when they went to therapy, they found it really difficult because therapists don't know what female genital cutting is. So there are so many like range of issues that arise as well, like even within the healthcare industry or like healthcare professionals, if people in medical colleges aren't learning about this, like how are we tackling the issue? So there's so many sort of facets to it as well, which it's been so interesting as a youth organization to speak to people like you as well, who really sort of understand that intersectional effect. But yeah, essentially that's the whole picture.
Okay, so like when you started this project, or like when you learned about it in UK, what was like the basis behind that?
So it was essentially through the volunteering project that I spoke to you about. And we were doing awareness-based work as well, because we were working with a national charity in the UK called the Halo Project. So they're funded with the government of the UK. They did a lot of training sessions for us. That's the first time I heard about it. And then again, like working with survivors and hearing their stories, that was sort of the basis on how I learned about it, and then how I also learned what implications it can have on people.
Got it. That's really great. And just to see how much you've grown throughout, that's really amazing. But I'm sure you must have had some challenges. So what have been just some challenges throughout your journey, and how have you been able to overcome them?
I think first starting off, also the hindrance with female genital cutting is the taboo behind it. So the first thing, like you said, it's raising awareness, because it's not talked about in mainstream media. And also talking about female genital organs or female genital cutting, it is considered taboo, you know, in different countries. Or when you're approaching a webinar, it's how do I talk about this? That initially, I think even for when we're raising awareness, that can be a barrier. But using like creative mediums to combat that has really worked with us. All of the webinars we've done to young people have gone extremely well. Like people are very curious to learn about it. And also, like most often the reaction I get is people are really shocked that they haven't learned about this school, and they get really frustrated that it's such a widespread issue across the globe and like they haven't heard about it. But yeah, I think the challenges have been sort of dealing with that. And also as a youth change maker, navigating a space where sometimes people will say, oh, but you know, you don't really have experience or adults. I think just navigating that space and realizing that your voice is very important. And as young change makers, we all have a unique story to tell, which is why, you know, everyone has a role to play. and doing whatever you can in whatever way or capacity is also contributing to the movement at large. I think that's been some of the ways that I've sort of helped deal with some of these challenges.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I love like how we always talk about like the voice part of it, because I think that's a really essential part that always comes up on my podcast again and again, because all of us young change makers is like the one thing we have in common is that we've been told no a lot, and we haven't been like our ideas haven't been heard. And there's so many times where we feel so oppressed. And that's also a little bit of background behind Little Helpers, because when I started it, I was 9 and I noticed that like we don't get a chance to do anything. And that's like I wanted to create a chance for other younger kids to do things. So when we started our service projects, it would be like from 3 to 12 year olds, we could all do service projects. It could be like little making blankets, making cards, anything where everybody was able to interact. And I know while FGC is a topic where like I know like littlest kids can't learn about, it's definitely something that as you grow up you should be learning about. And do you think there's like a way that schools could start introducing this somehow?
Yeah, definitely. I think like introducing it in the curriculum in middle school would be such a good way to explain to kids what FGC is. But then it also goes such a long way in just preventing such a thing from happening. Like if you're teaching in schools about it, like all of your future doctors, therapists, and just people in general are going to be more aware. And yeah, that's really important. But I think what you said as well about your project is so incredible. Like creating space for young voices is again such an important thing that all of us can do, because young people are truly on the front lines of all of the movements and are creating incredible change across the world, which just proves how important our voices are when we come together.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And just so throughout this movement and like even at the start, who has really inspired you?
I think the survivors really inspire me. The fact that they're so brave and are going out there and really doing the work in communities and doing grassroots level work, which again is so important, because they're really going into communities in different countries across the globe and you can see the change that's coming out of it. But I think their strength inspires me so much each time that we get to work with survivors or we do a podcast or a webinar with them. Just hearing about like their experience and what they've been through, it really inspires you to take action to end gender-based violence.
Yes. And so are there like other movements similar to yours where they like spread awareness about FGC, or do they like take action? So
yeah, definitely. There's a charity in the UK called the Vavengers, which is, I love the name. It's after the Avengers, it's incredibly cool. They're doing amazing work in the UK. They have a lot of survivors that are also involved in the charity and do campaigns at schools and a lot of prevention campaigns as well. They were at the House of Lords last week. They're doing some amazing work.
That's awesome. And so like, what is the message that you want to get out there? Like, who do you want to inspire?
I definitely want to inspire young people to use their voice. And I think something that really inspires me as well is seeing other young change makers, because at the heart of what we do, I think it's coming together, and community-based action is always very powerful. I definitely want to inspire young people to use their voice in whatever way that they can. You know, change making comes in so many different mediums, whether that's art, music, through dance, like raising funds for a project you're passionate about, whether it's even like helping someone in your community. All of that goes a long way. So I want people to be able to harness that experience and like just tell their story and get involved.
That's amazing. I just really love all that you're talking about, especially since like this is something new that I'm just learning about. And I love learning new things, and just the fact that there's a whole initiative like based on this like one soul, like I guess you could say experience. I think that's just amazing. I really like the way that you've been able to kind of channel all that together. And so do you have like a team behind Scarlet Udon, or how is your like organization running right now?
Yeah, definitely. We have amazing young people that are involved. Like we have a team of over 35 people. They're all in different countries. Most of them are in college or working or in high school, and they're incredible. I was able to build a team through just like online, through LinkedIn, or like attending Girl Up summits online, and was able to get a lot of young change makers involved. And now we just have people reaching out wanting to help because they learned about FGC. So it's just a chain effect, but it's been so incredible.
That's awesome. And so if our listeners wanted to also connect with you, or like also like become like a volunteer, how could they do that?
Yeah, you can reach out to us on social media, anywhere that you can find us. So Scarlet Udon, we have an Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever you're comfortable reaching out. But even if you listen to this episode and go and tell two of your friends about FGC, that's again a really important thing that you can do to help spread the word. We also have a podcast if you're interested in like hearing from survivors, authors, filmmakers, so they can do that as well.
So what's your podcast called?
It's Scarlet Iran
Okay,
Podcast.
Perfect. Okay, then I'll go check that out as well, because I
of
think I'm
course.
really interested in learning more about like what survivors also have to say. So
Yeah.
I actually really love like the whole idea of the like the kind of like the behind the scenes behind your organization, because I feel like in the US, like, okay, for I've never heard of FGC. I know I've taken health courses, things like that, never heard of it. And just like in the US, seeing all the different types of organizations that people have been creating, I think this is another thing that like needs more awareness. And I'm really happy that I can play a small role in spreading that as well.
No, thank you so much. Like, this has been so incredible. I've loved chatting with you and also giving me a platform to talk about FGC and spread some awareness. And I think what you've said as well is so true, because there are a lot of misconceptions that this doesn't happen in Western countries, or like that perception. And also a very effective way to raise awareness on female genital cutting is tackling these misconceptions. So that again has sometimes been a challenge. Like, I did a lot of groundwork awareness in California and took a sign, like did a lot of awareness. And that was the most common reaction that I got, like people saying, oh, like we didn't know it happens here. So that again is such a powerful way to raise awareness.
I'm really hoping that we can get you even a bigger platform where we can educate a lot more countries on this, just because I'm really surprised, like what you were saying, that not many people have heard about this, just because like if they put so much like emphasis and awareness on like gender equality and like no violence and things, but this practice has been so like, I guess it hasn't been spoken about. So I think it's incredible that it hasn't been spoken about, actually. Like, I find that so like horrifying in a way, but
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, wow. I'm really happy that you're doing this with your initiative.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So apart from your initiative, I know you mentioned you went to law school, or
yeah.
Are you still in law school, or?
I just graduated. I
Oh,
finished my
congratulations.
Master's. Thank you so much.
So wow. What is like kind of your education route, and what are you planning to do?
Yeah, so 3 years, I went to law school in the UK, so you can go directly from high school. So I finished that. I just finished my master's a couple of weeks ago, and now I'm hoping to take the New York bar exam and get qualified as a lawyer in New York. But I'm essentially hoping to practice corporate law.
That's amazing. Well, actually, wait, it's considering you're 21, that seems really, really young now that I think about it. Because, like, that's what, like, what, only like 3 years out of high school, like, and
Yeah.
already becoming like a lawyer. That's
Thank you
amazing.
so much. That's so kind.
So do you have like a specific branch of law that you're going to practice?
Yeah, I'm hoping to do corporate law, like maybe mergers and acquisitions or private equity, but I will definitely keep doing Scarlet Iran work and change making. Like, that's a passion of mine for life.
That's awesome. And so back home, my grandpa is a lawyer, and my other grandpa, he was a judge.
Wow.
All three of my cousins are currently studying to become lawyers. So I have a
Oh,
lot of,
no, that's
yeah,
incredible.
I got a
Good
lot of
luck
law
to
in my
them. That's
family.
amazing.
Yeah, so that's also something, and I love how you keep mentioning that you want more awareness for doctors and therapists. So I want to become a doctor, and now I'm like really happy that I have awareness just about FGC, and I hope to learn more about like the other things that are also like considered taboo. So that's really great. And so what are like Scarlet Udon's future plans?
Yeah, so we are in a partnership with UN, like UN Women. So we're doing a lot of work with them, essentially to like increase gender equality and violence against women and girls. So we have a lot of campaigns with that. We're also in the works of creating like and filming episodes on FGC to raise awareness specifically for like middle and high school, that sort of age group. So yeah, those are some of our campaigns currently.
That's great. And I hope we can also collaborate in creating some more awareness together. That would be really
Definitely.
exciting.
That would be amazing.
Of course. And so what is like just kind of like any other hobbies that you have? So anything else that's like a part? Because I know like us change makers, and like another thing is like balancing this light, like this work with
Definitely.
like the rest of our like activities, because I'm going to be a senior next year. So it's been really, really crazy these past couple of years in high school. And I think like one thing that I always talk about with like the younger change makers I interview is you need to understand like when to take a break for yourself, because like if you can't help yourself, then you can't help others. So I think that's one thing. And how have you really balanced your life and any other
Yeah.
hobbies and stuff?
I think that's such a journey as well, because I think when I first started out in 2020, I would be giving about like 6 or 7 webinars a week and sort of showing like these survivor documentaries and talking about it a lot. And I would always feel guilty when I took rest from it, because I always felt like I could be doing more. But I think you sort of go on a journey on your own as well. When you're like really involved and passionate about something, I sort of learned how to balance the two and do my best and raise awareness, but also like balance like law school and my other like academic interests. But like self-rest has definitely been something that as a change maker, you sort of grow into it and realize that it's equally as important as speaking out. And there's so much joy as well that comes in connecting with other change makers. That again has been incredible for me in even a self-rest kind of way, but really relating to other people on their journey. And it just feels so relatable. Like, oh my God, I'm going through the same thing. And I feel like we could be doing more. And there are some days where I'm so hopeful, but then I'm also so frustrated that we're not reaching solutions fast enough. Whether I speak to, you know, some of my friends who are doing climate action work, people who are doing like menstruation awareness work. And I think just coming together in community as well can be so powerful. Because sometimes you can feel like really alone and isolated, but when you're in community with other change makers, you really realize how powerful it all can be. And self-rest is so important. And also finding joy, I think, you know, as young change makers, all of those things can be true. Like, for instance, I was at the Taylor Swift concert last week, and that's something
awesome.
I really enjoy. But at the same time, you know, I love speaking out, and both of those things can be true. Like, we're all figuring out, you know, our next steps and where we want to go academically, professionally, like with our change making goals as well. Mm-hmm. And sort of just embracing all of that, like both of those things can be true, has also been like great personally.
That's great. And if you had just to say like a one liner message to all our listeners out there, what would like that main like motto tagline type thing be?
Mm-hmm. I think it would be to not underestimate your own voice, because like your story is so important and there's no one else who has an experience like you. And because all of us have like unique experiences, it would just be to own it and harness that to use your voice.
That's great. I love your message there, because that's like one main thing that I actually haven't heard, to not underestimate your voice, because some of us are afraid of speaking out. Some of us are afraid of what like others are going to think about us. But like, I think some of those things, like even though that's essential just to kind of like make sure we don't make like a fool out of ourselves or something, learn to also go forward with our voice. And I think that's a great message that you just shared there.
Thank you so much. What would your message be to young people if you had to do a one
line? That's a great question. I think mine would probably be, whatever you have for yourself, share it with others. So whether that's like kindness or your story, you should always like educate others, share it with others, and always like give back to others. Because I think like, even though we come into this world as one, unless you're like a twin or something, but like, and you leave as one, but to like throughout your whole life, you inspire so many and you interact with so many, and like without you even knowing, you make such a big impact on others. So I think that's just
I love that. That's so inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
Love that.
It's been so great to talk to you today, Sonia. Do you have anything else you want to tell our listeners?
No, it's honestly been a pleasure. Like, I love the work that you're doing, and it's so incredible, because inspiring other young people to use their voice is also such important work. And there's so many young people already doing incredible things like yourself. So if there's any way that I can be helpful in the future, I would love to. And keep doing what you're doing. This is absolutely incredible.
Thank you. And this podcast, like, just as like something for everybody who's listening out there, I think like when I went into it, I just wanted to inspire other people. But like now when I reflect on it, like it makes me feel so happy that I get to talk to new people. And I just find so many new friends for life, like you. Like,
yeah.
So I think it's just so great. And that always makes me so happy. And so we usually like to end with like a fun question.
Yeah.
So my fun question would be, so if you think all the women in the world, if they could have one superpower, one just type of like super like amazing, can be a power, it can be anything, what would it be and why?
Oh wow. I think because I'm a Marvel fan, I would have to say something like being able to fly, or like have a superpower like Doctor Strange does. But yeah, I think it would have to be something Marvel related.
Oh, that's awesome. Fun
question. What would yours be?
Oh, I honestly have no idea. It would probably be like telepathy or something, where you can people across.
That would be a very cool superpower.
Yeah. But thank you again. You're on our wall of inspiration. So yay, that's really exciting.
Oh, yay. Thank you so much.
Of course. And it's been a pleasure talking to you, Sonia. And everyone out there, if they want to connect with you, would you just tell them really quick?
Yeah, of course. My Instagram is Sonia_Sharma. You can connect with me there, or you can connect with me on like LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever. If you'd like us to, you know, come and talk about FGC at your school, any project, we're happy to do that as well.
That's great. And I hope I can also like spread more awareness about FGC now that I know about it. So I will also continue to do that.
Amazing.
Thank you. And with that, signing out, Rishika and Sanya, it's been a great episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
I hope you were inspired by today's awesome Little Helper. Check out our website, littlehelpers2015.org, and remember to stay kind, spread that inspiration, and radiate those good vibes. Bye!